观众朋友大家好，欢迎收看澳洲广角，我是凌云。本周末是中国新年，首先在此祝愿所有新唐人的观众朋友们新年快乐，岁岁平安，万事如意。在今天的节目时间里，我们首先向大家播放一条悉尼中国新年游行的消息，然后请大家欣赏一个发生在墨尔本的动人故事，女大学生凯蒂的人生经历。每年的中国新年游行已成为悉尼华人们的一项重要活动，人们通过展现自己来表达对公平和谐的多元文化社会的认同。今年的活动虽然也是人山人海，锣鼓喧天，但也发生了一些令人遗憾的事情，我们一起来看一看。虽然整夜的暴雨一直到天亮后才慢慢停下，受人注目的一年一度悉尼华人新年大游行在灰蒙蒙的天空下如期举行。游行队伍聚集在市政厅门口，如往年一样，在市长摩尔女士为金龙点睛后，游行活动正式开始。当日的游行有几十个团体，近2500人参加，数万名观众在马路两侧观看。澳洲是个多元文化社会，各个城镇的嘉年华活动均体现了各社团、各民族和谐共处的景象，展现了澳洲文化的多姿多彩。在所有的嘉年华游行活动中，悉尼华人新年大游行总是最盛大的。但近两年来，中国大陆派遣大量团体来悉尼参加新年游行，游行队伍的多元文化色彩似乎正在被削弱。
现在大家看到的就是悉尼华人最盛大的新春庆典大游行，据悉今年共有2500多人参加，其中三分之一来自中国大陆。对于邀请这些人来参加悉尼的新年庆典活动，当地的观众是怎么看的呢？
对，我觉得每年一次这样的活动啊，我觉得真的太好了，对我们华人，我觉得这很有意义。我觉得在中国现在很少能够看到具有这种传统意义的这种文化遗留下来的风气啊，我觉得这里很可贵的。
看到中国政府呢派了这么多人来在这里，投入了那么大的资金，那么大的人力，可是呢在中国呢有很多人还很贫穷，吃饭看病都有问题的，所以我觉得真是这个大家应该去想一想，这个挺可悲的。
备受关注的悉尼法轮功团体也出现在队伍中，这是该团体第二次正式获得邀请参加新年大游行。
看到法轮功的游行啊，队伍很多，在这个地方游行经过的时候，大家都热烈的鼓掌，表示欢迎。
市政府出于某种需要，让大量来自中国大陆的游客进入游行队伍，而使一些当地的华人团体失去了参加盛典的机会，组织者因此而遭到多个团体的质疑。体育在澳洲人的心目中有着特殊的地位，体育明星在社会中所受的关注往往比政治家要大许多，这是澳洲的特殊文化现象之一。从下面这条2006年牛省体育大奖颁奖晚会的报道中，你也许可以对此略见端倪。2006年牛省体育大奖颁奖晚会本周在悉尼奥林匹克公园举行，此次大奖共评出年度最佳运动员、最佳运动团体、最佳组织者、最佳教练、最佳比赛项目、最佳管理者、最佳残疾人运动员、最佳青年运动员等18项大奖。此次大奖的评选是由牛省体育联盟会组织的。
Yeah, well, the New South Wales Sports Federation represents all of the state sporting bodies in New South Wales, and we represent from rugby league, cricket.Of course, Dragon Boats, who have been nominated as the Team of the Year, Sydney Swifts, they're all members of the New South Wales Sports Federation. And you know, we try and promote their activities with the government, and we try and help them gain some lobbying expertise, particularly around getting grants for their funds and helping them basically exist.
入选今年最佳运动团体最后三名候选人之一的是牛省龙舟队。
Dragon boating is a traditional Chinese sport, has been in Australia for almost 30 years now, about 25, 30 years it's been in Australia. So it is a traditional Chinese sport, and we're very excited to be able to be involved in the sport in Australia. I'm very proud, I'm very, very proud the fact that Dragon boating's been nominated for one of the finalists as Team of the Year. It's quite an honour to think that our little sport is going up against the Sydney Swans and the Netball Swifts, who are quite legendary in their own rights, and that our little sport gets to sort of sit alongside of those for us. So it's a very big honour to be here tonight.
牛省体育大奖的评选是从1994年开始的，今年已是第九个年头。此次颁奖晚会共吸引了550多名参加者，是历年规模最大的。晚会的主持人是前著名橄榄球运动员及电台主持人 Grant Hughes， 以及曾获2004年雅典奥运会银牌的垒球运动员 Fiona Crawford。在西方社会 ，teenage problem 这个词出现的频率非常高。就是说，十几岁的青少年都有一个反叛期，让学校、家长都非常头痛，甚至出现很严重的社会问题。墨尔本女大学生凯蒂就曾经是 Teenage Problem 中的一员。那么，她是怎样克服青春期所带来的困扰的呢？下面的节目会给您答案。
As a young child, she was always really, really, you know, thoughtful and really caring and really shy and, you know, never seemed to get into any trouble at all. She was extremely
when
gentle.
When she was young, she was never naughty as a really little girl. And when the twins came after her, of course, once they were mobile, they'd get into mischief every morning before we woke up. But Kate was, who was only 17 months older, she was, say, three and a half,She would be straight into us, wouldn't she, to say,Kelly and Aaron are...
Chewing your records.
Kelly and Aaron are tipping out perfume. Kelly and Aaron are throwing cereal all over the kitchen. Whatever they were doing, she was always in to tell us. She would never be ever partaking in anything naughty.
She was so scared of hurting herself or doing anything wrong that when we first bought her a push bike, she wouldn't ride it. So Kelly and Erin could ride the push bike before she could because she was too scared to fall off the push bike. So she was really quite a quiet, gentle person.
Kate grew up in Missigong, a small country town in Australia, in an ideal, loving family environment.
I had everything, you know, I could want. My mum and dad did well in their business and everything. We had a big house, had heaps of toys. And my mum and dad really brought us up very morally. My mum always taught us, you know, never say no to our mother. Never lie.
When Kate started primary school, she was exposed to the world outside of her family.
There came a point where I suddenly started to realise that kids around me weren't exactly the same. They were kind of different from me. You know, they were allowed to say, they said bad words, like said swear words and things. And I started to think that there was something wrong with me. I started to feel like I was getting left out. I thought, you know, if I didn't do it, there was something really wrong with me. I thought there was something wrong with me that I didn't want to do it in the first place. So I tried to just counteract that by going against everything that my conscience told me. And I did it all. I just started trying it all.
As Kate progressed through high school, things became worse.
As we were getting older, more and more things were happening. Like the girls were starting to get together with the boys and, you know, and I was starting to do, like, get really drunk and do naughty things, and I was afraid. But then from the first time I tried alcohol, because I was just so unhappy and I was so shy and I, you know, felt so different from everyone, when I drank alcohol, I just became very confident. And so if there was, you know, if there was a boy or a boyfriend or something like that, I would have the confidence to be able to, you know, hold hands or, you know, or maybe kiss or something like that.
But she was the eldest. So once she started to misbehave, it was the first time we realised we had almost no power over her. Because if she really wants to, she'll do it.
And once I started, the first weekend I got drunk. I got drunk every weekend after that. And I don't even know if there was a break. In years, I would start to drink before school. I'd buy very cheap wine and I'd fill up a drink bottle and I'd actually take it to school with me and drink during the day at school. And it just became really difficult to not drink after a while. I'd given up reading. I was doing terribly at school, which used to be my source of pride. I had no relationship with my parents anymore because I just was living a lie. And I couldn't really just pretend I was just their little daughter anymore because I wasn't. I was trying to live a different life.
And you don't even really notice that much as she's growing up. You notice because the years are changing, you've gone to high school, and you notice because they're getting taller and all that sort of stuff. But that's when it comes slamming at you that this is, you've got a real problem here and you haven't been given a manual how to solve this problem.
There was this atmosphere in the house that had never been there before. Everyone was on edge and everyone was tense and anyone could fight with anyone else, but it was all caused by Kate.
Yeah, when she was on drugs, that was the worst time I think our family's ever been through. Just mum and dad went through so much, I'm surprised they're still alive now.
She'd promised us she wouldn't be having anyone at home, and of course as soon as we went out for the night,
we had
a party and a group of boys that were very drunk trashed the whole house.
Microwaved the CDs.
Yep.
Urinated through all the beds, blew up all the bottles of beer all through the house, stole things from the house.
Ate biscuits and spat them all over the house. And episodes like that, she was just a walking disaster.
My dad's a pharmacist and, like, Kate worked there and got a lot of her friends a job there, and a lot of them just stole everything, and Kate stole a prescription. So Dad nearly lost his pharmacy license.
I was always taking all these drugs or just getting so drunk that people couldn't cope with me because I lost control each time. I could never just have a few drinks and have a laugh or something. By the end of the night, I would be a mess and I'd probably be trying to cut my wrists or fight somebody, or I don't know, I would just be just sitting in a pile on the floor crying.
We never ending with police and fighting, and Kate damaging herself, like broken bones, operations just from being drunk and having accidents and trying to commit suicide. And got the police just turned up at Mum and Dad's house and at 2 o'clock in the morning and said Kate's been kidnapped by the Asian mafia. She just has gone through so much stuff. She was pretty bad.
I think there was a period of about 3 years where we never got a Saturday night sleep, ever. There was always a phone call. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, every week.
If I came home, the whole family would be really unhappy because they had to change, they had to be so careful, they had to tiptoe around me, you know, and even though I was treating them really horribly, they had to bear so much of it because when they reacted, then I would react even worse. It was like they were on a tightrope because if they did one wrong thing, I would just lose it at them. And I'd freak out and I'd break things and just throw them at the wall. There's a hole in the wall over there, a big dent in this house. My parents keep it to remember what I did, because I just break things.
Yeah. When Kate used to come home, everybody used to be in fear, right? Only because they didn't know what emotional roller coaster she'd put you on next. So when Kate was coming home, everybody, all of us, like everyone would be going, oh. You know, and she'd walk in and she'd be a different person each time. And she'd be wearing a different uniform, you know, whether it be the hair totally shaved off or, you know, this, then nose rings, tongue rings, lip rings, all that sort of stuff. Whatever it was, there was something different each time, you know, and there was some new, just some new experience that she was going to tell us about. But mainly it was whether she was going to really hit the alcohol or the drugs, whether she was going to really get really angry with us, right? So everyone would be kind of running away from her.
As Kate sank deeper into alcoholism and despair, the more isolated she became from her family, and her situation became worse and worse.
Just over a period of a few months, this is when I was 17, I became a vegetable. I reached a point where I was just on the couch all day, and I didn't move, I didn't get up. And I got to a point where I just didn't eat. I would eat maybe one meal a day, if that, and that would be junk. And I couldn't afford to eat because all my money was going on drugs. And also I was very sick. I'd been very sick for a long time because I smoked so much. And my lungs were so sensitive that I was just coughing all the time. I'll cough blood. I was constantly having mucus come out of my chest, and I was just clogged up. I was in a lot of pain. You know, my back was always hurting and my lungs. And that was really difficult as well. Like, it was just hard to function.
Kate was a mess, emotionally isolated and unable to face her own life. She had sank all the way to the bottom.
It was very hard because there was always a part of me still, like a little girl, who just wanted to just be a baby and just be nice and live in a nice world, but my world wasn't nice anymore. It was becoming really, really bad. So much hatred, and like, so I was so angry. I was just so angry with everything, mostly myself. I mean, I was so angry with myself because I was, you know, consciously destroying myself, really.
Kate wanted to prove that she was still a normal, capable person. She enrolled in university, but unable to cope, she dropped out twice. She was unable to function as a normal member of society. Spiritually empty, she just used drugs to fill her aching void.
And that was incredibly hard for me because I knew that there was something more to me. Now, I knew there had to be something more to me, but I couldn't find it. one day I was really looking in the paper and in the community section I noticed this ad. It said free meditation classes, and it was just like, it was just a tiny little ad, but it could have been, you know, written in gold for what it meant to me, because the word free, and I just, not like, oh, you know, I've got no money, it wasn't like that. I just felt like there's somebody out here who wants to teach people how to be healthy and, you know, how to live a good life, I guess, for nothing. They don't want anything back. So I thought, okay, it's got to be good. There must be something good about it.
Well, when Kate first started doing Falun Dafa, it was quite amazing, because everyone was in fear of what she's bringing home this time. Like, you know, everyone's going, oh, no, please, what's... You know, because it had been 4 or 5 years. And what is next, right?
Like, everyone was sort of, oh, my God, what is she doing? Because she tried so many things in life and just like, oh, yeah, this is just like another thing. So we didn't... And, like, she came back with this whole new, like, everything, like, because she used to steal all the time. Everything I've stolen, I've got to throw out. Like, it was all this weird stuff, and we're just going...
She took out all the piercings.
She was covered in piercings.
Yeah.
And we just thought, oh, my God, what is she doing now?
I went to this meditation class, and it was called Falun Gong, and I never heard of it before.
Falun Dafa, a cultivation practice of mind, body and spirit, gave Kate a way out. Originating in China, millions of people have benefited from its amazing healing properties for the body and the soul.
And I just felt this heat rushing through my body. Like, it just, nothing I could ever describe. I've never experienced it before. And it was so hot, and it felt so amazing. Just like my whole body was being cleansed. But then, when I got the books, that was the amazing part, because I only had to read 2 pages, and I felt like, wow, all this book was teaching is to be honest, and to be kind, and to be tolerant. And it was like, of course, everything I've been thinking about or trying to understand for so long, all of a sudden it started to make sense. It was like my life that was unfolding, and my spirit and my heart, it was awakening, because I found it was all real. You know, everything I was wondering about, it was all real. The main principles were truthfulness and compassion and forbearance. It's just like they counteract everything bad that I've done, just through changing myself and following those 3 principles. All my worries and my fears and my hatred, I was still carrying them with me. Finally, I could let them go.
You can tell straight away, so she started. She looks so much healthier, and
she hasn't been able to commit to anything. Like, she never played a sport. Like, she would, she start and she stop. She started
with violin, piano, flute,
everything.
She started everything.
This is something that you could tell that she was really committing to, because she was giving up the things. Like, her piercings was her form of identity, like, to fit in, because, like, with the drug, you know, everyone's covered in piercings and. But she gave up all that, and her image of being all grungy, and she turned dressed really conservative, and even changed her way of thought. Like, she appreciates everyone a lot more, and looks at everyone and thinks,
I guess, tolerance.
Yeah, yeah.
Just she never had any of that before.
And it was quite different. I mean, she's more normal. She's exactly the way she was as a little child now. And that's probably been the first time that Kate's really interacted well with people our age and young sisters and brothers, friends, really well for about 6 years.
Kate stopped taking drugs, smoking and drinking. After practicing Falun Dafa, she started to pull herself back together again.
She's just a totally different person. And Mum and Dad, they are just, it's always been, there was sort of the ugly duckling, which was Kate, but now it's like, she's the ideal daughter. She's at uni now, she's getting a high distinction, she's loving what she's doing, which is awesome, because she hasn't been found what she wanted for so long. And now she's happy, and she's got...
Looking great.
Simon,
she's
got her
great husband.
Yeah. Her life is just, now, you just look at it, and it's just ideal.
it's quite amazing if you were a parent, her as a child, and how nice she was, right? And just you could see, you still see that child there. So you'd kind of get really angry and frustrated, and you kind of end up with this kind of friction pulling you back. But the only thing that keeps you going is that you know at the end that's still the same person there that was a young child.
Kate's story could have been a tragedy, but hope came in the form of Falun Dafa. Its principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance guided her back to a healthy, happy, wonderful life.
好，观众朋友，今天的澳洲广角节目就到此结束了。再次祝各位观众朋友新年快乐，健康如意。